Hello, you are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us for Community Conversations. Every 10 years, the census counts everyone living in the U.S. Every address will get a questionnaire by April 1st of this year. The data is then used to inform funding for services like fire stations, schools, clinics, and representation that affects our communities. So how does the census ensure that everyone is counted? Well, today I have with me Ryan Hanschen of the Complete Count Committee for the 2020 census and Mary Young of the Boulder City Council. How are you two doing today?
Great.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. So hard-to-count communities include those that are hard to locate, contact, persuade, or interview. So where does this idea come from?
Sure. You know, this hard-to-count idea really comes from past census. And so looking at the patterns in 2010, looking at patterns in the year 2000, right, because you mentioned this is only every 10 years, we can have a good sense of what the population estimates were in specific years. And then the statisticians with the Census Bureau are able to adjust and figure out, you know, exactly how accurate that count was. For that specific year.
All right. And why is inclusion so important?
The Census Bureau wants to make sure to count everyone. You know, this is a huge part of funding and drawing political lines for our communities. And you know, only when every single human is counted are we able to make sure that we're really reaching everyone and can represent everyone, you know, with that federal funding and with that political power.
All right. And then why are some groups of people difficult to include in the census?
Sure. The Census Bureau is working to reach everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some residents who may receive the postcard and say, okay, great, I'll hop on, I'll you know, do this now. And there are some who may have different barriers in participating in the census. Some of those may be language barriers, you know, maybe technology issues. All right, this is the first time that we're seeing the census be able to complete online. And so there are a lot of barriers.
Wow.
For some folks who may not feel comfortable participating online, may not have the technology, may not have the access. And right, we want to make sure that we're giving priority to folks that you know, may have some challenges in completing the census, make sure that they have the support and the access and the resources they need to count themselves and their family.
So I have kind of a question. Ryan, I know that one of your tasks in the city is to engage people, and especially engage people that are not the usual folks that are coming in to speak with city government. And so which population within the county is, in what you've learned so far, the hardest one to reach? And why would what are the reasons behind that? Is that some remnants of the whole idea that the citizenship question was going to be asked? What kinds of barriers are left behind from that?
Sure, absolutely. There are several. I think one of the most prominent is students within CU. And looking at a map, you know, can't pull up the visuals on the radio, but looking at a map of Boulder County, one of the lowest counted areas is right around CU's campus. Mm. And so we've been working very closely with our off-campus housing folks and staff and really making sure that we get the word out, that we make really sure that outreach is going out. And I think you know, students may be unclear, right? If they're, you know, coming to see you from another state, you know, does the census apply to them? Is that part of where they're living, right? And part of the message we want to make sure we're getting across is that, you know, April 1st is really, you know, the census day. And so where you are living, where you are April 1st, really make sure that you're responding to the census, you know, with your address at that point in time.
Wow. That's surprising to me that it's CU students that are some of the ones that are undercounted.
Folks, yeah, and I think, you know, I think there's also an element there of, you know, this is only every 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're, what, maybe a first-year student, you're 18 years old, right? The last census is when you were 8 years old, and mm-hmm. you may mm-hmm. be learning about the census for the first time, you know, and, right, have not been participating in that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in addition to that, we've really seen a high need to really focus on our Latino communities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a number of different issues that we're working to focus on there. Some of those are language, right? Making sure that folks are aware that the census, you know, is available in Spanish and other languages, or making sure that folks understand, you know, the importance of the census, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for folks who may be first-generation Americans, you know, learning about the census and why it's important, why it's safe, why it's easy, you know, is going to be really critical for our communities.
Wow. Anything you'd like to add on that?
Well, I'm just wondering, you mentioned CU students kind of stood out in the area that showed that they had been undercounted in previous census. What other areas in the county stood out?
Sure. There are, you know, that's kind of the deepest one there. There are a number of other parts. I think North Boulder kind of stands out. Some of the mountain communities are harder to count. You know, we also really see that, you know, across the county as well in other communities that seniors are also a challenge to make sure are included in the count as well, as well as children under the age of 5. And I think there's some unclarity, you know, around ensuring that, you know, folks who are from birth to 5, you know, mm-hmm. as long as it's April 1st, are counted in the census.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So a lot of the reasons are because people aren't aware of how to fill it out or ways in which they can fill it out when it comes to especially special circumstances, like when there's kids involved or when they're, like, away for college and stuff like that. So there's a lot that's just people aren't quite sure what to do.
Right. And so, you know, I think that's really on us and the Census Bureau to make sure that messaging is across, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to understand this new system that's only every 10 years that, you know, is using different technology and, you know, is asking these questions. You know, I think that's on, you know, us as a city and, you know, in support of the Census Bureau to make sure that, you know, we are, you know, meeting community members where they are.
So you said you kind of prioritize those groups of people. How exactly do you identify these communities?
Some have been based on the past maps. Some have been working closely with community organizations to really see, you know, what the awareness is of the census, you know, within their specific communities. And so in constant conversation and relationship building with organizations, you know, understanding, you know, what the level of awareness is, and then, you know, making sure that we're increasing and making sure that we're able to count everyone throughout the community.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
What are some of the ways in which you all have worked to build the trust and make sure that you have folks out there that have the access to folks that there won't be any kind of trepidation in people who approach them to ask these seemingly personal questions?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. You know, one real part of that is talking through the security that is around the census, right? You know, I think folks, you know, need to understand that it's information that, you know, while it's personal, is never shared individually, right? That your personal data is only shared in the aggregate, and so it's by census track, right, which is several blocks at a time. And so that information is locked up in that census tract for 72 years. And so that information is not available, you know, individual by individual. You know, in addition to that, we work with communities to really make sure that, you know, this data is not shared with other federal agencies, right? So this is not shared with law enforcement. This is not shared with other folks, but, you know, it's not shared with landlords, right? This is, you know, really information that is only held in aggregate. The statisticians are able to add some statistical noise to that to make sure that it's presented in aggregate and not individual residents.
I see. So the data is kind of used to give general numbers of the population, and it's not tied to any individual.
Correct. Correct. Yep. Only per census tract.
Mm-hmm. And that's the census tract is the smallest unit that you can do a search on with the data.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Because you can access the data through things like the American Community Survey. That it'll always be available there, but the smallest unit will always be the census tract.
Correct, for 72 years, yes.
For 72 years.
Wow. So in what other ways does the Census Bureau and your team prevent the undercounting?
Sure. I think a really big piece of that is making sure we're getting the word out, right? And, you know, in many cases, that is a focus on education, and then is action, right? The folks mm-hmm. need to be aware of the census, you know, in the first place, the importance of that, before, you know, focusing on the safety and the ease of that. And I think one of the things that we found is really helpful in talking through with community members is the amount of federal funding that comes through to the state of Colorado, that then funds, you know, as you mentioned, right, schools and fire departments and roads and benefit programs, but we're really looking at $2,300 per person, and that's locked in for 10 years, right? Because the next census is not until 2030. So we are looking at if one person is missed on the census, the state of Colorado loses $23,000 in funding.
Wow!
And so, you know, I think people hear that and they recognize, oh, like I really do want to make sure that my voice is included in this. You know, that I and my community are really well represented in the census.
I think that's a really powerful way to put it, because each count really does matter of each individual, and it literally equates to dollars that are funding these services. So I think that's a really good and fascinating piece of data right there. I've never heard that before, so that's really cool.
Right, absolutely, and it's not just the funding; it's really the political power as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is how state senate districts are shaped, how U.S. House districts are shaped to reflect population. And you know, because Colorado has been growing, the state really looks to gain an additional seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, based on numbers within the 2020 census.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the organizations that you've been working with to help with developing the relationships?
Absolutely. We see kind of two tracks. Some are really internal partners that are city work groups, and some are external partners. And so within the city, we've been really focused on those departments that are really community facing. Looking at Boulder Public Library, looking at Parks and Rec, looking at family resource schools within housing and human services. And, right, really making sure that, you know, the folks that they're interacting with, right, that we are really able to say, okay, you know, thanks for checking out your book. Here's the bookmark. You know, we want to make sure folks are participating in the census, right? We're working closely with family resource schools to send something home, you know, in Friday folders or Monday folders, right, depending on the school. But that shares information about the census. That's in English. That's in Spanish. And we estimate that that'll reach 2,000 students and their households. They'll be coming up at the beginning of March. And so really focusing on trusted voices. And, you know, we see those organizations, those entities be very... have a very strong relationship with communities already, and so we want to make sure that, you know, they're able to convey the census as well. And then, outside of the city, there are a number of organizations, maybe two dozen organizations that, you know, we've been working really closely with through the city and building that relationship over time. Some are new just for this period, but, you know, are clear on the importance and the vitalness of the census and have joined the City of Boulder Complete Count Committee to really focus on making sure that, you know, their constituencies or their communities or the folks that they're partnering with, you know, are part of this work. For example, I was just having a conversation with Jorge, the executive director over at El Centro Amistad, last week, and, you know, we're talking about the how important the census is and how important it is to, to make sure to be spreading the word and to be supporting folks in increasing their understanding of, why that work is important and, how it can be easy to complete the census and what to expect. What are the questions that are on there, and making sure that folks have a good understanding of what to anticipate.
So the census is hiring workers to actually go out and do some of the initial work and some of the follow-up work. What has the Complete Count Committee been part of finding some workers, or has that been the task of the partners? How is there the assurance that there are people on the ground that are actually going to be trained to do the work?
Right, absolutely. We have been working really closely with the Census Bureau and with the Boulder County as well to make sure that recruitment effort is underway. And so the Census Bureau is able to provide some recruitment materials, and then we're able to pass through to those trusted organizations to spread out and make sure that we're outreaching to folks who, that may look like folks that we're trying to reach, right? Mm-hmm. And that may speak the same languages and, maybe bicultural or multicultural as well, to make sure that, when someone comes to your door, a Census Bureau enumerator, that, that they can, have that bridge there and can really be able to have a level of trust already. And I think one thing that we've been sharing with communities and, hearing from certain folks who have said, I'm not eager for, federal employees to come to my house. And so, part of the message that we've been really trying to get across there is, if you're completing online, it'll make it substantially less likely that someone may come to your door. that if it's you're counted online, right, someone won't follow up to enumerate, but, it'll make it much less likely that someone will visit your home participating online.
So it's kind of projected that the online options will actually get more people to fill it out because people will be less worried about someone actually coming to their home.
I think it's really about tailoring the message to what the community is. Mm-hmm. I think with some of our Latino and Spanish-speaking communities, that message has resonated. With some of our senior communities, we've really been focused on security, right? There are, unfortunately, a number of scams in the recent past that have targeted seniors. And so we've just really worked to be clear about messaging and, all right, this is how it's official U.S. Census Bureau. This is how it's Census 2020. These are the things to look for to make sure that you're being counted and it's not, in an incorrect way.
Mm-hmm. So, Ryan, I was just reading this morning in a report that came out from a NALEO study, which is the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, and it was talking about how there's confusion out there about how to answer the race question and what kinds of steps are being taken to clarify, because it's sort of two questions in the census. It's questions 8 and 9 that are, I looked through them and I was confused about how to answer them. So what is being done to kind of help people with clarity around how to answer those questions?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We've been working with those organizations to, when possible, walk folks through the census. And so we're hosting a series of Train the Trainers that will be available to city staff and to community organizations that'll be co-hosted by the Census Bureau to provide some information that is really specific to that, right? To walk through, here's what to expect on the census. Here's why the questions are worded the way that they are. Mm-hmm. I think we've heard concerns from community members about a number of different questions, right? The ethnicity question, the race question on there, mm-hmm. As well as gender question, right? The only mm-hmm. options are a binary option for folks mm-hmm. to respond. Mm-hmm. And so we've heard concern on those questions as well. I think one thing that, if folks are uncomfortable in answering one of those questions, or they're not certain, or they're not, willing to share that information, We do make sure it's important to get across that an incomplete census form will still be counted. Hmm. And so encouraging folks to fill out as much as possible, as much as, you know, as they will allow. But to know that, you know, if even if incomplete, will still count, right? And we, you know, want to make sure that folks are completing as much as absolutely possible, you know, because that information is so vital to local governments and to schools and to businesses and, you know, to communities as they make decisions about, you know, how to allocate resources and what to go where and, you know, making sure that we have the best information possible.
That's good to know that even if it's an incomplete, that it still counts. I didn't know that either, so that is fascinating.
Okay.
Well, and then Mary.
Yes.
Is it okay if we switch the topic to Boulder County specifically?
Of course.
So what are some of the strategies that are being deployed in Boulder County?
Boy, I'm not familiar. I know that Ryan would know what the strategies are, but yeah, I'm sure they're probably similar to what's being done around the city, but at a different scale. Is that, would that be a correct way?
Yeah, that's very accurate. Absolutely. And so, you know, there are a number of complete count committees that are working together throughout the county, as well as coordinating across the county. You know, so we have City of Boulder, City of Longmont as well. You know, CU is really focused on their work. And then there's a group of amazing nonprofit organizations that have pulled together their own CCC to make sure that, you know, yes, we're counting folks in municipalities, but we're also counting folks who are outside of cities, but in the county, that, you know, maybe in the mountains. We are super, super thrilled that the Community Foundation Boulder County has been incredible in securing the funding to support a deeper level of outreach. And working together with Boulder County, they have been able to hire a field coordinator who will be a part-time position, you know, kind of through this spring and summer, really focused on working with a number of organizations that will serve as cultural brokers. And so folks who, you know, may be working really closely with organizations and, you know, are able to be on the ground and able to be at community events and to be at cultural gatherings, to really be that voice in sharing, you know, this is why the census is important, this is, you know, why it's safe, and this is how it's easy to complete.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings to mind people who live kind of in isolated ways up in the mountains that may not even be aware. And what kind of effort is made to try and identify those folks, and then how is the count actually carried out when you identify people that are so dispersed and don't have access to, like, the internet? And what can be done there?
Right. So beginning in the middle of March, you know, every mailing address, every household will receive a postcard with information about how they can complete, you know, either online or by phone, you know, or eventually by mail. And you know, we're really glad to see that online, you know, there's support that's available in 59 different languages. You know, by phone, I believe it's 13 different languages where folks can complete the census. And, you know, I think our mountain communities do present a unique challenge that, you know, it's as much as they may receive that in their home, you know, if they don't have, you know, active internet service, right, it may be identifying other ways that they can participate in the census. And so, you know, we've been trying to meet folks where they are. And so, you know, for example, you know, making sure that they're also receiving the message, you know, in newsletters that go out, right? In, you know, City of Boulder is working on a utility bill, right? That, you know, in social media, that we're making sure that this message is going out too. And so, you know, there's some research out there, right, that some folks, you know, need to hear a message 7 times before it really sinks in and then you take action. And so that's part of the strategy that, you know, sure, folks may be receiving those individual postcards, but we want to make sure that, you know, residents are hearing from a number of different angles, a number of different trusted voices, a number of different resources, so that they have a better understanding of what that looks like to be counted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the Census Bureau is doing everything they can to make it as easy as possible for anyone to respond. So I think you can respond so online or by phone or by mail. Is that correct?
Yes. And then, you know, the self-report and kind of where you are able to participate in the census will be through the middle of May. After that, there'll be an increased presence of enumerators, and that'll be more of door-to-door folks. And so I think, you know, yes, there are a lot of different avenues for folks to participate. I think there are still significant barriers that we want to make sure that we're addressing and making that more accessible and easy for folks. Just that the resource is there doesn't mean that the access is there, right? Or that, you know, follow through is there. And so being able to support folks along that path, at each step of the way is really critical. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one interesting thing that we found is that, you know, while the Census Bureau budget is slowly increasing, the cost to count each individual resident is really increasing. Right, so for example, in 1970, you know, the amount was $16 per person counted. Right,
wow.
In 2010, that was $92.
Wow.
And you know, both of those are in 2020 dollars. But really, looking at you know the effort that it does take, and the funding and resources that it does take to make sure you know an individual is counted, has really grown exponentially over time.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Well, and the state of Colorado had some money that was invested in doing outreach to the census. Was that a unique thing to Colorado? Did other states do a similar thing? And how did it happen in Colorado?
Yeah, absolutely. There were some legislators who really identified, this is a critical need, right? We want to make sure that Colorado is well represented and put forth a bill that really secured $6 million in funding for different grants. And so the Department of Local Affairs, put a call out and organizations across the entire state, especially those who were really focused on those hard-to-count communities, were able to submit and receive funding for that. And so there is a map online where we can kind of see the coverage across the state and who's focused on what where. And so that's been really exciting to see. That it brings up another thing that'll be new. The census is, as folks complete the census, it'll show up on census tracts in real time. What areas are being counted and, what areas are being undercounted. And so with our complete count committee, we're able to go back and say, all right, we're really on track here. Oh, we really need to focus on these geographic areas
that's
here.
Really
but
cool.
In real time, we can have a different response and really adjust our strategies
that's cool.
as
you
needed.
You can shift as it comes along during the process.
Right. Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah. Just a reminder to folks to please complete the 2020 census, that it's important and really critical for our community, that it is a safe process and that it's easy to fill out online, on the phone, or by mail.
And do it on April 1st. Don't wait.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I want to thank both my guests here, Ryan Hanchin and Mary Young. This is the Audio Information Network of Colorado. Thank you for joining us for Community Conversations. My name is Alex, and as always, we invite you to please stay tuned for our next program.